Amy and the kids were already there, and this was a couple of 3 days before Tom himself would be leaving the United States, flying to Zambia. He just wanted to do this one or two more churches, tell them about their stories to try to help raise some support, because they didn't have a congregation. There's a lot of great missionaries out there on the mission field today that are not supported by denominations, okay? So the Moro family is not supported by the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church, but rather they are supported by individuals and individual churches. And so Tom was trying to get every bit of support he could get so he could go join his family. And as he spoke, I could feel God's tugging at my heartstrings that this was where God wanted me to be a part of. Well, naturally, my first argument is, God, I don't have a whole lot of money to help anybody do anything. And so then I realized it doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes a lot of people giving $5, $10 a month faithfully. Okay? And God, let God do the rest of it. Well, that's what the Moro family did. They stepped out on faith, the substance of things hoped for. Okay? They believed God wanted them to take the gospel message to Zambia, Africa. They didn't know what part of Zambia they were going to be in. They didn't know what they were going to be doing when they got to Zambia. They had no earthly idea other than the fact that God, they felt God wanted them in Zambia. And that's faith. That is faith. And especially when you have, I'm assuming, I've never discussed this with them because it's never been any of my business, but I'm assuming they had a very minimal amount of support in those early years. So Amy's sitting up here going, So anyhow, they went. And through the years, it's been church after church after church that they've been able to get to hear their story. Each year, either Tom or Amy, one comes back. And now they're facing another challenge in that their children that were little kids when they went, they're now aging out. By that, they're turning 18, and they have to come back to the United States. And so, and they need to come back and get some formal schooling, although Amy's done a wonderful job homeschooling. I know because I've spoken with their kids, and I know what they're doing in junior college over here now. And so, at any rate, this is a little of their family story, and it takes faith to do all this. And I can't help but wonder, as these kids come back here and go to school, if God will call them to go back to Zambia one day. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Over the 9 or 10 years, however long it's been that they've been in Zambia, they went from one town to another town trying to see where it was God wanted them and what God wanted them to do and so forth. And then finally, one day, they realized that they needed to start an orphanage. There was a great need for one. And this big chief gave them some property up in the northwest sector of Zambia. And it was an old building that was a pile of junk, to be honest with you, when he gave it to them. It was going to be a motel, and it never got completed. And then the years' deterioration set in, and there was literally trees growing through where rooms should have been. And that's what the chief gave them. Well, it's not that anymore, because God took a family that was trusting him by faith, to do something that they didn't even know that they were supposed to be doing until at the time in which God wanted them to start doing it, and he started making all things possible. And today they have a wonderful, beautiful campus over there, and 22 orphanage babies that would have, they were throwaway babies. Throwaway babies. They would be dead had this orphanage not been there, had the Morrill family not been there. And so now, I've said enough. It's time for me to present to you Amy Morrill, African missionary.
Back there? All right, excellent. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoy coming to this church so much, and the delicious food out in that potluck is just part of it. But you're such an active church. So many of you have partnered up with us and begun to support us, and you know, send us emails and joined up on the Facebook page, and we get to interact with you. And so it's like a reunion, getting to come back each year or every other year to be able to see you and get to know you better. So what we have brought with us today is an update video. Many of you have heard the story before, and Ray shared a lot of it, how we started this orphanage because there was such a need. There are very few orphanages in all of Zambia, even though they have a huge orphan problem. There are very few orphanages that take in the babies. And so if the babies lose their mothers, they very frequently just die. They just don't have anyone to look after them. And so this need was big, and the Lord gave us the vision, and he provided the means. When we stepped out by faith, this is the product of it. So we'd like to present now the update for Kazembe Orphanage. And I'll be up afterwards to answer any questions that you have and to share any more in detail about anything that you've seen.
Thank you. boys' ones and girls' ones. As the children get older in here, they are moved into cottages. Children can move from their streets across here and have a different space to bring them to the world.
So we're now on top of the water tower, and we're looking down at our culture place where we're going to be building the boys' cottage. Boys' cottage is going to go literally here, and the little building is going to go right in the center over here. And then also, the very end of the chicken house is where we're going to put the girls' cottage. We're going to be losing our garden area, but we have plans of how we can continue growing vegetables, and we're going to show you that. So as we're going to lose most of the area where we grow our vegetables, we are now going to build structures similar to this one, which is about 20 feet long, and it's about 2 feet high, and we put soil and manure inside, and we grow vegetables such as this one has tomatoes, parsley, coriander, and basil. We're going to build about 5 or 6 of these more around the center of the orphanage, which will still give us plenty of vegetables for the orphanage.
The last area is the orphanage project. With the number, there are 8 villages and tables. They started construction to build a big farm of animal property. The very first village is an operational festival and currently happy to help the children. We are excited about the new projects that we are going to explore with the change of work. We plan to build 2 cottages for the living boys and school leaders. We need partners to help us reach our budget. We need donations for our construction fund and volunteers to help with the project. We are ready to help.
Happening. A lot of kids growing and big things on the horizon. Did you have any questions?
Well.
Yes, we've been here a few times. You've heard a lot about Zambia. Don't get some of the regular questions. So,
let me see if I can get some conversation started off.
Okay.
What I have done over the years in my association with them, and I'm glad that some of you from the invite can, but some of you can do this very same thing. I started off giving what I could at the time, and it's not blessed me. Karen and I then started budgeting. That's the amount of dollars every month that we would send to the mission.
a challenge. We're talking about years and years of superstitions and things that are not actually going to change overnight. So we're friendly enough, and Tom is very active. I don't know if he shared about this last year, but he became part of the police force for Zambia. He's a reservist, as well as working with the Wildlife Association. So he does a lot within the community. So there's more respect and understanding of, you know, why we're there. It's slowly coming in. It's still always going to be a challenge, just because the socioeconomic levels are so different. You know, even though we wouldn't, you know, consider ourselves to be anywhere near as far away from them as they think we are. It's the mindset. So, yeah, it's still a challenge. Yeah. People, their families bring them. So, for instance, the little girl that I was carrying in the video, her mother died right after she gave birth to her, which is, you know, sad. They don't have the good doctors and everything to help save the moms when they have problems. So the father, 2 days later, brought her. And it was hard for him. It was a long way for him to travel. He had to go on bicycle for about what would drive, taking us about an hour and a half by car. He had to ride that on his bicycle to bring us the baby. But we're glad he did, because sometimes they don't bring them right away. And then we get them, and it's too late to help them. Yeah. Well, it's a socioeconomic. It's them. They will always see us as their bosses, in a different level. It would kind of be like if any of us went and hung out with Bill Gates. You know, yeah, you know he's just an ordinary guy, but you know, it's just there's just a little. You know, go hang out at a country club or something. You know, everybody puts their pants on the same way, but you know, so that's the way they think of us. You know, and there's also, unfortunately, whether it's because they were a colony of Britain over the years, whether it's mistakes that missionaries have made in the last 100 years, they see us as the solution to all their problems. If we would, in their minds, if we would just give them all the money they want, their lives would be completely better. And when we don't do that, they hold a grudge against us for it. So it's an entitlement mentality that is very common in low economic communities. Yeah, it happens here as well. And so that's why I say it happens in low economic situations. It's not necessarily an African problem. It's just a poverty problem. We're there, but we have staff members. Volunteering is not a Zambian tradition. They'll come and volunteer, but they want to get paid. We do have volunteers from the States, though. Yeah, we're not quite set up for that, because we only take in a certain age of babies. We only take baby babies, like 0 to 2 years old. And we don't really have housing available to help people in that way. What we do sometimes is we'll have ladies that come in and work, and then we give their children the fees that they need to go to school. Yeah, so we do that kind of program, yeah. I think there was a question here, yes.
Is there some kind of established religion minister type kind of superstitious among, like a witch doctor or something? Is there something that they attend?
Well, they do attend church. They all attend church.
What church?
All of them. They're all there.
Oh, they're all there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a Baptist church, a Pentecostal church, a Methodist church, a Anglican, or what I guess it's an Episcopalian type church, Catholic church, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist. Everybody's there. 20,000 to 30,000 people. Yeah, it's about 20,000 when we came. They say now 30,000. Yeah, it's a big community. The problem is with the churches is that they don't know what they believe, so they're not very strong Christian churches. So every single person in Zambia, pretty much, unless they're like a Muslim or something, will tell you, "I'm a Christian." well, what do you believe? Well, I believe in Jesus, of course. But you ask them a little bit deeper about their faith, and that's not there. So that's one of our big ministries, is trying to teach people what they believe. Like, for instance, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe in Jesus, right? But all of the Jehovah's Witnesses in Zambia think they do. So there's just not a whole lot of teaching going on in their churches. I think there's a question. Yeah, the superstition and the witchcraft is just kind of runs through the community, the way materialism does here. Okay, in our churches we have to battle against materialism all the time. Witchcraft is there, you know, their weakness that comes through. They never get rid of that belief. And then also, churches have kind of taken over what used to be the chiefs, the hierarchy of chiefs. There was a head chief in the area, and everybody just listened to him and did whatever he said. Then pastors come along. Chiefs are moved over, and now we put a pastor in that position. Okay, we do whatever he says, but it's not that personal connection to the Lord. Right now, all our beds are full, so that's why we need to raise the money to build more houses, so we can take in, if we build two new cottages, we'll be able to take in another 16 children before we have to build more. Still have to travel. It's about 100 miles, which doesn't sound too bad, right? Except you have to go down. It takes us about 2.5-3 hours to do that, because we're going into potholes that are, you know, like down in the pothole and back up the other side. And, oh, is that a puddle or a pothole? Oh, kabam! And your, you know, axle nearly snaps in half. Oh, that was a pothole. It's bad. Yeah, so it's still a long ways to get groceries. We have a Land Cruiser. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's like a tank. It's just a metal shell, no frills. Yes. They're pretty. Zambia is a pretty peaceful country. Yes. So we don't really suffer too much from that. This past year was kind of a little more rough because it was an election year. So there were some riots at different times and things, but it generally is fairly peaceful. Our main dangers are health-wise and snakes. Yeah. Yes, snakes. Oh, gosh. I think probably the most scary snake story was when my daughter Jasmine, who was probably 13, 14 at the time, went into her room and was cleaning up laundry off the floor and went for what she thought was a pile of clothing when it was actually a cobra. And it was about 6 feet long and very, very aggressive. And Tom handles snakes. He keeps poisonous snakes as, not pets, but kind of. But he was frightened of this cobra. That was pretty scary. And Tom's been bit, I think, 3-4 times. You can confirm that on my blog. There's a little thing, things that have bitten Tom. up on the left-hand corner of my blog, if you all want to go there, amysadventures.org. Get to see things, but right there, this little thing. And it's about 3 different poisonous snakes, and he'll come to me and say, "Do we have antibiotics?" "Why? I was bitten by a snake again." I'm like, "You get to go have a tetanus shot because he hates needles." So it's my little revenge. You're going to scare me half to death, you're getting a shot. Yes. We've become their foster family, so they will stay with us until they're ready to go off to college or learn a trade or whatever. Yeah, till 18. Yeah, and hopefully by then they'll be on their way to college or have learned to trade or something. We need to. We're working to get them all. As far as college, I'm not sure. They're part of the Zambian community, so I don't know. It's going to be something that we have to do because most of our children don't have birth certificates. They just, you know, don't do paperwork so well. Yeah. So, but we're getting court papers for them. So we're hoping that that will stand in for a birth certificate as they get older. I would like to see some of them at least come over. Like you saw Johnny with his tent. that he makes amazing tents out of pieces of plastic and sticks, and he's constantly building things with the tents. I think he would be a great engineer. So I would like to see him come over here on a scholarship and be able to then go back to Zambia. So you had a question. Go ahead. All right. Okay, well, depending on the supplies, for instance, if you would like to donate clothing, it's usually better to wait for us to take it, because the postage is really expensive. For a small box, you're going to pay $50 for that. Those kind of boxes are fun, though, if like a church or a Sunday school group wanted to get together and send one of those boxes and put chocolate chips or little treats for the kids, you know, little lightweight things. You can get those flat rate boxes at the post office, and I think it's like $55 or something like that to send that, but you can put 20 pounds of stuff in there. So those are nice to get. But otherwise, for supplies and things, we usually gather them once a year when we're over here, and we take them back within trunks. Beginning of June. But we're hoping to gather almost everything by the middle of May, because we have volunteers starting to fly out of Houston around there. So if we can get some trunks filled, each volunteer can take 2 trunks with them. And we have 3 leaving out of Houston, then Tom is coming and flying out at the end of May, and I'll be flying out in June. So we can fill some good trunks. And I do have a needs list at the back of the room. Yes? That's our goal. Yes. That's still it, yeah. I'm hoping that as they get older, they are going to see the needs of their community. So many times, the best and the brightest of Zambia go overseas to get educated, then realize how much more money they can make if they stay in the States or if they stay in Europe, and they don't make it back to Zambia. Sure, they send some money back to support their family, but Zambia needs strong people and strong entrepreneurs and strong tradesmen to do work there. I'm hoping that we have. They don't really talk about it much. They will say things like, oh, you've taught me how to be a better mother to my own children, you know, things, because we do a lot of childcare training. I'm not in their home, so I don't know what they're doing. And you have to remember, too, these are young, usually they're young girls. We have very few women that are older. Okay, so these girls are like 18, 20. Some of them are single mothers with children. Then when they go back into the community, they have boyfriends, grandmothers, parents who are exerting pressure on them. And one of the biggest problems in the community, especially for the young people, is they don't have any self-esteem. They're not built up from a young child being told how special they are, how much Jesus loves them, all that. So they fold under pressure quite quickly. And it's one of the saddest things, and it's heartbreaking, because you see how much potential they have, but they don't know how to use it because they don't believe in themselves. And sometimes the girls that are coming out of school now are kind of getting told by the school, you can be anything, you can do anything, but it's on a shaky foundation because they haven't been built up from a child. So they're just being told, you can do anything, and they go out kind of with this false confidence, but it's not real, it's not true. So one of our big challenges right now that we're facing, and it's one reason why we need to bring in more volunteers that can kind of work alongside these girls, is Johnny, Elias, Chola, Teresa, Queenie, are so confident and so strong and so full of spirit that the local girls have trouble handling them. Not because they're so naughty, but because if they tell them to do something, they say, well, why? And they want to be they want it explained. Well, you don't do that in the Zambian community. You never talk back. You know, they just, they threaten with a stick, and there's a lot of, you know, just kind of aggressive parenting rather than encouragement parenting. Yeah, it's challenging to work with the young girls. And then another problem is that they leave quite quickly. They come out of school, they graduate from their high school, they come and they work for us for maybe, you know, a year, maybe, and then they've raised enough money, they've saved enough money to go to college. And so we lose them. We lose all that training that we gave them. Yeah. So, I don't know, some of you have liked Kazembe Orphanage page on Facebook, but one of the statistics that I shared on there recently was when I was looking at how much influence that one page has. The people, about 300 people have liked that page, meaning whenever I post something on there, you get to see it, right? If you each liked Kazembe Orphanage, if each of those 300 people went and told all of their friends to do something for Kazembe Orphanage, that's an influence reach of 300,000 people. Our 300 people can reach 300,000 people. Because you tell your friends, they tell their friends, and on it goes. It has the potential to reach 300,000 people. If each of those 300,000 people just gave a dollar, we'd be set with our annual budget and our construction budget. Something to consider when you think about what can you do. Can you give a dollar today? Can you give five? Can you tell your friends? Can you organize a fundraising drive with your coworkers? You know, what can you do to help Kazembe Orphanage meet its goals this year? Doesn't have to be much, because it all together will add up. Of course, anybody feels the need to write a check for $10,000, that's okay too. The boys' cottage would be done and we'd be good to go. I would accept that, no problem. Yes? Yes. Yes, it is. She still will accept things, yes. It's easiest if we can collect it while we're here, because then we can take it back. Otherwise, it has to sit there at her house for 10 months. But, yes, if you have things during the year, that's a possibility.
Down the road, right, you know,
the number on our brochures, the phone number, goes to her house. Yeah. And then emails are all there, so that's a really easy option as well. And yes, and I'm sure he has her
something.
Yes, the pregnancy center has a resale shop on Alexander Drive, isn't it? Alexander Drive, the cookie jar. Yes. And my son works there, so if you're ever in there, I think on Thursdays, maybe Saturdays. Yeah. He works Saturdays, right? Yeah. Yeah, dark haired, not so tall guy. I wonder where he gets that from. But anyway, you can say hi to him. Give him a hug. He misses his mommy. They live there with us, and as they reached 18, then they're not allowed to be under our visa. They're not allowed to be there anymore unless they get a different type of visa. So they have to come back here and go. And plus, it's time for them to go to school. So he's almost done with his associates, and my girls have gotten their associates in. One of them is now working on her bachelor's in education at U of H, Clear Lake. Yes. Yeah, Jessica actually works at the pregnancy center. Well, if they do, it'll be a while. I don't know. They want to get their education. They want to find husbands or wives. They want to have kids. They want to, you know, we'll see what the Lord does on the way down. But their hearts are still in service. Like I said, Jessica works at the pregnancy center. She'd like to be a counselor. And Jennifer does an after-school program, little Bible study with, like, fourth graders, I think, an after-school program. So, yeah, their hearts are still with missions. It's just that right now they would like to be here. Staying with their grandmother. And all her rooms are now full. I guess so. Well, we need to eventually get those other ones out. The oldest ones need to start leaving the nest and completely. Yes? Six. Yeah, we opened our doors just over 4 years ago, and he was two. Not so far. No, it is. It is. We have them sign paperwork that they can't do that. And we have both sides of the family come together, plus whoever they would consider a clan leader, to sign everything. And we're working to get it even more formalized by going before a judge to get it done. Right now, it hasn't come up, but they're not that old yet. When they start hitting 8, 9, 10 years old, they're going to be good field workers. And that's when we're going to probably start seeing some problems. So we're trying to... Yeah, we do allow them, the families, to come and visit with them on Saturdays, so we're not breaking the ties with their families. But the living situations of the families in our community would be such a huge change for our kids. And they were so little when they came in, they don't really know them as mommy and daddy or anything. They know us as mommy and daddy. So it would be a little bit too hard for them to switch back. They call us mommy and daddy. Yeah. Yes, we have. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and Peter, who you saw, he just walks around the property and says, Daddy, let's go to the main house with you. And he just like, so they don't know. He was only 2 weeks old when he came. They don't know any other mommy and daddy. And all of the ladies who come in and work for them are aunties. So, as respect, it's aunties. We don't do Miss and Mr. We're not in the South over there. So, yeah, we do aunties and uncles. As a form of respect, and it's sort of like we're one big family. Yes.
Thinking back, I remember these ladies coming in and having
correct.
These ladies, when they come to the moral mission,
lost about 15. Out of 22, that's a pretty high rate, but the fact is that if the mothers died of HIV and they passed that on to their child, that child was born with a millstone around their neck. I mean, it's bad. And so some of them we've been able to save, but I think most of the ones that have been exposed to HIV, there just isn't enough medical technology available and not enough testing. We had one little child, somebody asked me recently, my daughter works on Saturdays with a family who has a cerebral palsy child, and so she helps the whole family so the mom can have some time out. The mother said, what would you do if a child came to you that had that problem? Well, we did have a child that came to us which we suspected had cerebral palsy, but here, if the doctor saw that, they would know, okay, run tests on the heart, run tests on this, you know, they would go and do all these steps. We don't have that kind of medical care available to us over in the bush. So although we immediately started working on what we could, doing physical therapy with him and all this stuff, one day he just passed away. And that's just the reality of a life without, you know, big, huge hospitals and all the testing equipment. We have a pretty high infection rate, maybe like 25% in Zambia right now. Of our children, though, there's only one child so far that has HIV, of our 22 children. And I challenge you to find him on the board because he does not look sick. Thankfully, we have the ARVs, the medicine, available for HIV, and he takes it every day, morning and night. And he's very healthy. I'm grateful. Yes? Well, no, I would say they brought development into it. As much as they did in any African country, they only got their independence in 1964. So when they got their independence, I think there were only 3 Zambian college graduates in the whole country. So in that way, yes, probably they affected them. because they didn't have enough education. And so they've had to slowly build themselves up now. But it's, I think Tom read recently that Zambia is like the most economic growth country in the whole world. It's growing the fastest. And because we now have, ready for it, 4 KFCs in Zambia. And one of them has a drive-thru. Now, that doesn't really affect me because it's all in the capital city, and I still have to drive 3 hours over pothole roads to get groceries, but they are there. There are 2 movie theaters. One has 3D movies in it. I mean, it's when you go to, you land in Lusaka and you go to the capital city, you really don't realize what's outside the city. It's developing quickly, but it hasn't quite spread out. Kind of, I guess, like we would have here with, you know, the Appalachian Mountains and things. There's still people who haven't got access to their basic needs yet. Growth is sometimes slow in other parts of the country. All right. Well, I can close if there's no more questions, and I'll go back to the room, and there'll be plenty of time for you to ask me anything else or look at the pictures. And be sure to pick up a brochure and a needs list. Yes. We do. Yes. I do, but not on me. So what I can do is I can probably bring a copy by the church at some point, and then you can make copies from here as well. And also, you can view the video online. That's vimeo.com missionary family, and all of our videos are there. So if you haven't seen our past videos and you want to see what we started with and some of the, hear the stories of Jennifer and Peter who were in such sad cases, feel free to go back and watch some of those videos. All right. Thank you very much for having me today.